Luke 1, 8 through 25 in the Passion Translation. One day while Zechariah's priestly order was on duty, and he was serving as priest, it happened by the casting of lots, according to the custom of the priesthood, that the honor fell upon Zechariah to enter into the holy place and burn incense before the Lord. A large crowd of worshipers gathered to pray outside the temple at the hour when incense was being offered. All at once, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing just to the right of the altar of incense. Zechariah was startled and overwhelmed with fear. Well, I guess so. Mm-hmm. And many times, listen, when the Lord appears to us in a supernatural way, because we're not expecting it, because we're in the natural, it might cause us to act a little bit in fear, because we're not used to seeing that. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Right.
And that's where Zechariah was. It startled him. Zechariah was startled and overwhelmed with fear, but the angel reassured him, saying, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. God is showing grace to you." Mm-hmm. God's showing what? God's growing. It's going to show you His favor. God's about to show favor to Zechariah, but look what Zechariah did. "For I have come to tell you that your prayer for a child has been answered." What had he and his wife been asking for? How long?
A long time.
A long time. Because they were up in age.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether they were as old as Abraham and Sarah, but they were up there in age, well past the childbearing age.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Zechariah was remembering and zeroing in on. "Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to name him John. His birth will bring you much joy and gladness. Many will rejoice because of him. He will be one of the great ones in the sight of God. He will drink no wine nor strong drink, but he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even while still in his mother's womb. And he will persuade many in Israel to convert and turn back to the Lord their God. He will go before the Lord as a forerunner, with the same power and anointing as Elijah, the prophet. He will be instrumental in turning the hearts of the fathers to tenderness back to their children, and the hearts of the disobedient back to the wisdom of their righteous fathers. And he will prepare a united people who are ready for the Lord's appearing." But notice how Zechariah answered him. Zechariah answered the angel, "How do you expect me to believe this? I'm an old man, and my wife is too old to give me a child. What sign can you give me to prove that will happen?" Do you see what he's speaking there? He's speaking unbelief.
Mm-hmm.
He's asking for a sign. Now, it's not unusual for signs to happen in the old covenant, because that's how one of the ways that God communicated, through signs,
right,
and spectacular things. But when the angel showed up, Zechariah said, "Oh, this can't be. For I've already considered how old I am and how old Elizabeth, my wife, is, and this is just not going to happen. Oh, this is silly. This is ridiculous. I'm an old man, and my wife is too old to give me a child. What sign can you give me to prove what this will happen?" And then the angel said, "I am Gabriel. I stand beside God Himself. He who has sent me is to announce to you this good news. But now, since you did not believe my words, you will be stricken silent and unable to speak until the day my words have been fulfilled at their appointed time, and a child is born to you. That will be your sign." If I'm standing before God, and he's going to give me a sign, I don't want that sign. He gave him a sign, all right, but the sign was he was going to be dumb until this was fulfilled. Now, would you ask? I ask myself, why would God give such a sign as that? But he gave him that sign. Find my place here. That will be your sign. Meanwhile, the crowds outside kept expecting him to come out. They were amazed over Zechariah's delay, wondering what could have happened inside the sanctuary. When he finally did come out, he tried to talk, but he couldn't speak a word, and they realized from his gestures that he had seen a vision while in the holy place. He remained mute as he finished his days of priestly ministry in the temple, and then went back to his own home. Soon afterwards, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and went in to seclusion for the next 5 months. She said, "With joy, see how kind it is of God to gaze upon me and take away the disgrace of my barrenness."
Yeah.
She stayed in faith.
Yeah.
She recognized how kind God was. Mm-hmm. Zechariah was in unbelief and couldn't speak. Did you notice Zechariah's response was the same as Mary's, one of fear? Let's go back and that's the part I'm missing, but I want to go back and I want to read you Mary's part. We'll go back to Luke chapter 1. I'm going to have to turn back there. For some reason, in copying this, I went back and forth so many times I've left this part out, but it's important that you see this. Go to Luke 1, and I'm going to begin with about 26, and it says, "During the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, the angel Gabriel was sent from God present to an unmarried girl named Mary, living in Nazareth, a village in Galilee. She was engaged to a man named Joseph, a true descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, 'Grace to you, young woman, for the Lord is with you, and so you are anointed with great favor.' Mary was deeply troubled over the words of the angel and bewildered over what this may mean for her." Same thing that Zechariah. He had a little trepidation, a little fear. Mm-hmm. Mary did too. But look, notice her response. "But the angel reassured her, saying, 'Do not yield to your fear.'" And that's something God would say to us today. We don't have to yield to fear.
Yeah.
If God said it, praise God, it'll happen. Praise God, don't yield to your fear. "Mary, for the Lord has found delight in you and has chosen to surprise you with a wonderful gift. You will become pregnant with a baby boy, and you are to name him Jesus. He will be supreme and will be known as the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will enthrone him as king on his ancestor David's throne. He will reign as a king of Israel forever, and his reign will have no limit." Mary said, "But how can this happen?" She's asking a legitimate question. Look, she says, "I'm a virgin. I'm still a virgin." Gabriel answered and said, "The Spirit of holiness will fall upon you, and Almighty God will spread his shadow of power over you in a cloud of glory. This is why the child born to you will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your aged Aunt Elizabeth has also become pregnant with a son. The barren one is now in her 6th month. Not one promise from God is empty of power, for nothing is impossible with God." Now I want you to notice there what happened with Mary. When the angel came to her and told her what was going to happen. Well, she first thing was fear, then she had a question. She said, "How can this happen? I'm a virgin. I don't know a man." It's a legitimate question. It's not doubt. But the angel told her what was going to happen. And then he gave her a sign, and she didn't even ask for it. She didn't ask for a sign. But he gave her one anyway. And the sign that he gave her was that Zechariah and Elizabeth was going to have a son in their old age. Isn't that amazing? Zechariah asked for a sign and got one I wouldn't want because it's unbelief. Mary didn't ask for a sign and got one to confirm what the angel was saying to her. And then Mary responded saying, "This is amazing. I will be a mother for the Lord as his servant. I accept whatever he has for me. May everything you have told me come to pass. And the angel left her. Think about it. She responded to the word of the angel. She responded in faith.
Yes.
It took faith to get the Lord Jesus Christ in this earth. And then I want to say this to you. Because thinking about Mary and what she did, and she accepted what the angel was saying. But I know that sometimes the Lord has to go to his second and third, and I don't know where it ends, sometimes maybe even more choice before it gets somebody that will obey God. Sometimes the reason why your answer doesn't come to you is not because God hasn't heard your prayer and hasn't answered. He's talking to someone and someone's not obeying. And God's waiting on them to obey. And God will wait patiently so long. But then if that doesn't happen, he may have to go to somebody else to get that answer through to you. And the Bible doesn't tell us that there was any other one he had to go to except for Mary. But there is a possibility that could be the case. Because the Bible doesn't record everything. If it did, the Bible said we wouldn't be able to contain all the books. But it's just a thought. But there was faith expressed here. And Mary expressed it. Okay. Now I got to get back to my other story here. Let's see. What sign can you give me? And I read all that. Now, did you notice Zechariah's response? And it was the same with Mary's prayer. But the angel reassured him, saying, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. God is showing grace to you." In other words, God is about to do something. But Zechariah's response was one of unbelief. He asked for a sign. But did you notice when he was talking with Mary, that Mary never asked for a sign, yet she was granted one. But now, since you did not believe my words, you will be stricken silent and unable to speak until the day my words have been fulfilled at their appointed time, and a child is born to you. That will be your sign. I believe this sign of being mute was to keep Zechariah from speaking unbelief. That's the only reason why it would be. He was in unbelief, and if he hadn't been struck mute, he would have been going off just making a joke about this. And, ha, 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 ha. Look what it said, but that'll never happen. But God had a plan. Mm-hmm. And he had to get the plan through. In order to do that, he had to silence unbelief. You ever think about it? Sometimes in your life, God may have to silence your unbelief. Because he's got a plan for your life. He's got a plan for all of us.
Yes.
And that plan is God's plan. And we ought to be jumping up and down, accepting it. Praise God just spoke to me. But how we respond is very important. We've got a choice. We can either respond like Zechariah in unbelief, or we can respond like Mary. But he says, I've set before you life and death, blessing, therefore you choose. See, the choice to walk in faith is always up to us. And we're having to make that choice every day. And Zechariah and Mary had to make the same choices. And they made different choices. But God's plan was going to be fulfilled.
Yes, amen.
And so he had to shut Zechariah up. Keep that being fulfilled. Now in conclusion, and this may be the shortest message you've ever heard, but I want to read you this. I want to conclude today's message by reading the end of the story. There is an interesting thing that happened. Luke 1, 57 through 64 in the Passion Translation says this. When Elizabeth's pregnancy was full term, she gave birth to a son. All her family, friends, and neighbors heard about it. And they too were overjoyed, for they realized that the Lord had shown such wonderful mercy upon her. Well, I guess so.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have a miracle, praise God, that takes place in your life, listen, your family and friends, they'll all want to rejoice with you. They'll want to, they'll take note. Amen?
Yes.
And that's what happened here. When the baby was 8 days old, according to their custom, all the family and friends came together for the circumcision ceremony. Everyone was convinced that the parents would name the baby Zechariah after his father. But Elizabeth spoke up and said, "No, he has to be named John." They were all scratching their head because that wasn't no one in their family had been named that. What? They exclaimed, "No one in your family line has that name." So they gestured to the baby's father to ask what to name the child. After motioning for a writing tablet in amazement. See, he was still dumb up to this point. And he was still dumb until he was real, and you'll see it right here. He was still dumb until he was ready to speak faith. Let's see what happens here. And he wrote, "His name is John." Instantly, Zechariah could speak again, and his first words were praises to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see that?
Yeah.
His first words were what?
Praise.
Praises to the Lord. You can't praise God and be in unbelief.
Right.
Zechariah got out of unbelief when he decided to go along with God and to speak God's word. And he said his name will be John.
Yeah.
I want you to know you can't speak unbelief and faith at the same time. You got to make sure you're always speaking faith. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. And his word will come to pass.
Amen.
And this reminds me of what was spoken over Abraham as recorded in Romans chapter 4. Against all odds, when it looked hopeless, Abraham believed the promise and expected God to fulfill it. Sounds like Mary, doesn't it?
Yeah.
He believed God. There was no question about it. He believed God. When it looked like everything else was hopeless, when it looked like it couldn't come to pass, when it looked like it was impossible. In fact, it was impossible in the natural. But because God said it, he chose the word of God over what was in the natural. And when God speaks to your heart, you need to make sure you're always going to choose what God says over what it looks like in the natural.
Amen.
It may look like failure, but my Bible says God doesn't know any failures.
That's right.
My Bible says that God cannot fail. And if God speaks to you a word that looks impossible, trust him.
Yeah. Amen.
Because it will come to pass.
Amen.
If you don't do what Zechariah did and speak unbelief. For God might have to shut you up until you're willing to speak like Zechariah. Abraham believed the promise and expected God to fulfill it. He took God at his word, and as a result, he became the father of many nations. God declared over him, God's declaration over him came to pass. Your descendants will be so many that they will be impossible to count. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. What's the power working in you? You've got the most powerful thing inside you. You've got the Word of God.
Yes.
It's working in you. Praise the Lord.
Thanks.
In spite of being nearly 100 years old, when the promise of having a son was made, his faith was so strong that it could not be undermined by the fact that he and Sarah were incapable of conceiving a child. In other words, there is nothing impossible with God. When God says it, it's possible. I don't care what your circumstances look like. I don't care where you are and whatever you're going through today. Praise God. If it looks impossible, look to the Word of God. The Word of God is your final authority. It has the answer for you. Praise God.
Yes.
And it will come to pass if you stay on that word.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Amen.
He never stopped believing God's promise. For he was made strong in his faith to father a child. And because he was mighty in faith and convinced that God had all the power needed to fulfill his promise, Abraham glorified God.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see that? Zechariah finally got it. His first words were, praises unto God.
Mm-hmm.
And Abraham glorified God.
Yes.
When he was what? Strong in faith. You want to go from weak faith, no faith, unbelief, to strong faith? I'll tell you what you do. Get your hands in the air. Find in the Word of God what the God has told me. If God said something to you, stay on that and begin to praise God, honor Him, praise God, and glorify God.
Amen.
That's a sign of one thing, that you've got strong faith.
Amen.
It's according to the words coming out your mouth. Amen.
Amen.
It's amazing what can happen when we take God at His word. Luke 1:37 in the Passion Translation says, not one promise from God is empty of power.
Mm-hmm.
I think the King James says, no word, nothing shall be impossible with God. But that's not strong enough. Not one promise from God is empty of power.
Amen.
Can I say that again? Not one promise from God is empty of power. Do you need something from God? Go to the Word, the final authority. Praise God. Find out what you need. Find out what you need to say and realize that not one word of God is empty of power.
Amen.
If God said it to you, it will come to pass. I'm going to give you a promise. I'm going to give you a guarantee. It will come to pass as long as you stay on the Word and don't go back into what Zechariah did.
Yes.
And got into unbelief.
Right. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Glory to God. Yes, the Christmas story is an impossible story. It's impossible. Except for the power of the Word of God.